Welcome back, friends. Thanks for joining me. My name is Leon Pittard. I'm the host of Fair Dinkum Radio, and we are broadcasting from the land down under in Australia. Well, there is plenty happening in the world, in politics, in the economy, in the banking institutions around the world. This week, I've become aware of a World Bank whistleblower, and I thought we would get Craig Isherwood from the Citizens Electoral Council on the line and have a chat about it together. Craig, welcome along. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks, Leon. Good to be here.
Well, very big topic, Craig, and very important one. And I suppose what we probably should do is go to this clip and listen to it. Then we can talk about it. But before we go there, any current comments on the change of prime ministership overnight?
Well, it's just a reflection of the turbulence in the economy that the people of Australia are not interested in the sorts of policies that have been thrown up by Julia Gillard. And from the media reports that I've seen, I don't think they're going to be impressed by Kevin, as we call him, Kevin 007. I mean, the point is that Kevin, right, as we've pointed out, has been sort of groomed as a British agent. He's very much a product of the system, and we're not going to see any real changes. In fact, we could see things might get a lot worse.
I don't know about you, Craig, but I'm, you know, I'm just amazed at how it's all a showmanship sort of, you know, exposure that's going on. It's all about, you know, the man or the woman, but there's hardly any attention to the actual real structural issues behind the facade of the, you know, of the presidential type campaigning that we see taking place.
The problem with the Labor Party is it's dropped all the old, any pretensions now of having any contact or linkages with the old Labor Party that actually used to stand for the concepts of the general welfare or fighting for the public good of the population. What you have today is basically two parties, both with, starting with the letter L, that represent globalisation, free trade, economic rationalism, privatisation, and all the things to steal and loot from the people of Australia. And that's what people are reacting to. And it doesn't matter who the heads up these particular parties, it's the same agenda. And it's run top down by the bankers, particularly the City of London and Wall Street. It's all run, which is basically called the money power. That's what the old Labor Party used to call it. And they used to fight it, you know, tooth and nail, because that, the money power's interest is not in the interest of the general population. And you can see that if you go back to the Great Depression, Leon, and look at what happened in Australia in the Great Depression, where you did have some great Labor leaders. One of those was Ted Theodore, who was the Treasurer at that point. He put up a proposal for an $18 million fiduciary note issue that, using the Commonwealth Bank, in order to be able to put 50 to 100,000 workers in back into work in a period where you had up to 1 in 6 people out of work. Eventually that was 1 in 3. So the point is that whenever you look at the parties today, and you look at history, and you look at what the old Labor Party was trying to do against the money power, you see the exact same policies that they were fighting, you know, 70 years ago, coming to light again today in spades. And both parties represent these terrible policies.
You're absolutely right. And the control of the money, of course, the control of the economy is the control of the people and the direction of the country. But let's go to this clip, and we will take a few notes, and we'll have a chat about it when it's finished.
What if I told you that the most powerful banking entity in the world was laundering money, and that its corporate bureaucrats go to great lengths to make sure that their illegal activities are never discovered? Well, right now you're probably thinking that's not news, but stay with me here. The World Bank is an international financial institution that's designated to help developing countries by providing loans, all in the name of, quote, reducing global poverty. However, the banking giant has been accused of actually increasing poverty by keeping the third world in perpetual debt and in servitude to the first world. But aside from its obvious critique, there's also blatant criminal corruption taking place at the highest levels of the financial institution. One woman has risked everything to shed light on this truth. She's exposed information that reveals the extent of the collusion between financial groups and foreign governments. Her name is Karen Hudes. She was senior counsel at the World Bank for 12 years before blowing the whistle. She's joining me now to talk about her experience and what it all means for the rest of us. I'm joined by Karen Hudes. Thank you so much for coming on, Karen.
Thanks for having me.
So could you briefly explain what the impetus was for you to speak out? What did you see
I was a lawyer, and I saw securities fraud. I saw financial information that was not being disclosed to $180 billion worth of bondholders. It was my job to make sure that the financial statements were correct. So first, I reported it up the corporate ladder to the audit committee. When that didn't work, I went to the U.S. Treasury Department. And when that didn't work, I went to the U.S. Congress. Senator Lugar wrote three letters to the World Bank saying, don't fire this lady. And they promptly fired me. This means that the U.S. Congress does not have the information that it needs. So they stuck with the problem. After I was fired, three senators asked for a GAO inquiry into the corruption that I was reporting at the World Bank, Senators Lugar, Leahy, and Bayh. Walk us through what exactly, you know, where was this money being laundered to whom? The money was going every which way because anybody that reported misconduct was fired. So in one case, the borrowers were being overcharged. In another case, I was reporting corruption in the Philippines, $900 million worth of money that should have gone to fight poverty in the Philippines. Instead, went to a corrupt man, Lucio Tan. The board was lied to. And my story is about trying to uncover the cover-up. The cover-up went all the way to Congress, and then it went to 188 ministers of finance. So this is corruption in the entire world. And until it's set straight, what we're going to have is we're going to have a currency war.
So you think that this was just a microcosm of what's happening across the entire institution? You just saw one aspect of this kind of laundering.
It wasn't just me. There's a group of World Bank whistleblowers. There's one of us from the United Kingdom. There's one of us from Mexico. There's one of us from India. There's one of us from Ethiopia. And we're all reporting the same thing, corruption from top to bottom of that institution. The money's going every which way, but where it needs to go to fight poverty.
And so you said that you were kind of stifled. You went to the government, and then you had a couple senators on your side, congresspeople. What if the corporate press? You said that you continuously tried to go to them with the story to cover it, and you were shunned as well.
Absolutely. And the reason why, I found out, it's because the corporate press is owned by one mega conglomerate. All of the financial institutions in the world, just about, are part of this scheme to rip off everybody, every single citizen on this planet. That's what I'm talking about. And it's not just my idea. There was a very accurate report on this from the Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich, Switzerland. Three mathematicians looked at accurate corporate data on 43,000 transnational companies, and they reported that through very clever interlocking corporate directors, these groups managed to grab 10 times the power than they otherwise had in their finances. So they own 40% of the assets of all of the companies traded on the capital markets of the world, and they own 60% of the earnings for every year. This means that the central banks for the world are issuing paper money with absolutely no accountability to the people who are using this money. And pretty soon, in a matter of weeks probably, the whole system is going to come to a screeching halt with something called gold backwardation.
Well, let's back up a little bit because, I mean, basically there's no oversight over these institutions. Aside from laundering money plainly, they're also laundering money offshore, hidden in these bank accounts, offshore bank accounts. I want to talk about how much power the banking system really has over geopolitics. I mean, you just broke down that all these people are kind of interlocking. Would you say that they control the government as well?
Absolutely. What I have documented is state capture. I tried to have information go to the voters before the presidential elections because Robert Zoellick was Mitt Romney's National Security Transition Planning Chief. CBS wouldn't report it. If the voters don't know who they're voting for, I asked CBS to have a question on international corruption. They figured the American public didn't need to know. So if the public doesn't know what's really going on, then you don't have a democracy, and that's what we're talking about.
Can you name any names of who you think are the real power players here? Because I know that, you know, if a little bit of digging can really reveal who these people are that are kind of pulling the strings here.
What you need to do is you need to look at the ownership of these corporations. They're the ones that we hear about all the time. Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
You were talking about Bank of America. They are actually all one bank. That's what happened when we saw the LIBOR crisis. These institutions are one big conglomerate that think they control the world and they think they're above the law, and they're not. What we certainly don't need is a currency war, and that's what we're on track for, unless and until we start to get to the bottom of this corruption. And it's very simple, actually, to do, because most of the people know that the corporate media, 70% of the Americans in a recent Gallup poll, distrust their media because it's owned by these banks.
Thank you so much for coming on. We'll definitely be following your case and covering it as it develops. Karen Hedes, former senior counsel at the World Bank. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Craig, one of the so many different points there that we can pick up on, but one of the things that Karen Hedes did point out was that basically corporate media was reluctant to really help expose the level of corruption and political geopolitical power that the Swiss study that she spoke about, which I have part of it in front of me, that basically outlines 147 different technocratic entities which really rule the economy of the world, which can be really summed down to a lot smaller number. But Craig, you know, I guess I'd like to invite you to just speak on this. There's so many different aspects of it, but the thing that I guess really worries me to begin with is the fact that a whistleblower can come forward and go through the internal mechanisms that are there, but these internal mechanisms always destroy the whistleblower rather than root out the corruption.
Well, we're dealing with what Karen was talking about, was the fact that global finance, or these what we call the British system of monetarism, rules government. That's what she said, and her experience was that even with the appeal of three times by the senator, Lugar, she was sacked. And the point is that this demonstrates what I was talking about earlier before her segment of this question of the money power. And here in Australia, it's no different. I mean, we are completely governed top-down by the City of London. We have ever since we were colonised, and that is really the issue. That brings in the issue of what actually sovereignty means for a nation-state. And, you know, when she's talking about all this money and this corruption, the billions of dollars, one has to ask the question, oh, where does this money come from? A lot of it comes from the dope trade, from the illegal drug trade, and which finds its way into the banking system, Leon. So there's a lot of dirty money. Well, how do you think all the money that's or the drug trade is financed for example, in Afghanistan? That money has to find its way into the banking system. Back in the 1980s, the LaRouche organization wrote a book, Dope Incorporated, that showed it was a bestseller at that time. Caused a lot of problems for the establishment, but also for the LaRouche organization, because it named the names and named the banks that were involved in the international drug laundering industry. And that's what most of our big banks today are involved in. That's what's keeping them afloat right now, is the huge amount of money coming in from the drug trade. But the way people have to understand this, the financial system doesn't exist by itself. It's a mechanism for something much greater. And that's why the CEC always talks about this question of empire. Now, you know, 100 years ago, you had the British Empire, which in all its glory was at the height of its empire. It had gunboats. It ruled the waves in terms of its navy. It had redcoats on the ground. And you had this, you actually saw the battles that took place against the United States in terms of the war of independence, also the Confederacy wars and so forth. These were actually wars against the British Empire at that particular time. Now, that empire hasn't disappeared. It simply morphed itself into a financial empire where it uses central banking, and I would refer to it more correctly as the international Freemasonry of central bankers, of which the World Bank is a part, which then goes to govern and rule the internal workings of governments, which we see here in Australia. Now, Karen was talking about the World Bank and the corruption there. Well, you've got the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central bankers, and you also have these other huge conglomerates like J.P. Morgan and the various other American banks that we've been seeing, which are now called G-SIFIs. They're, you know, globally significant financial institutions that are too big to fail. In other words, what we have today are moves to protect these so-called too big to fail banks that have got to the point that if they were to fail would create a catastrophic chain reaction collapse of the entire financial and monetary system. Now, right now, and one of the interesting things, this happened last night, which is good and timely for your show, Leon, is that there's been a couple of reports and interventions come out in the world. One of those reports was written by J.P. Morgan from the European Economic Research Unit on the 28th of May, where he says the euro area, J.P. Morgan and a couple of the authors wrote this report called the Euro Area Adjustment about halfway there. And what they're literally saying is that the intention to establish a fascist dictatorship, a banker's dictatorship over a single currency European region, is about halfway there. Their intention is to destroy the national sovereignty of all the region, the countries in the European region, and to establish a fascist dictatorship. And they bemoan the fact that unfortunately, there's two impediments to this at the moment, and that is Germany and Italy, because both of those have had anti-fascist measures put into their constitutions in the, after the Mussolini and the Hitler incidents, and so there's real roadblocks. But they're signalling the fact that their intention with the Bank of International Settlements is to stop the huge hyperinflationary bailout of money printing that's been going on for since the global financial crisis. The Federal Reserve in the United States has been pumping in at least $85 billion per month into this, into the banking system to keep it afloat, of which over half of that is being sent into Europe to prop up the European huge banks, right?
Yeah.
Now, since this started, they've produced something in the vicinity of $4 trillion of credit that's simply been printed, pumped into the system. So what the Bank of International Settlements has come out and said, and JP Morgan is saying, no more money printing. We're going to stop the presses. We're going to stop this, and we're going to go for massive austerity.
Yes.
So what you've seen in Greece, what you've seen in Cyprus, Spain, and all these countries is now the agenda.
But as you've just said there, they're only halfway.
That's right. So they're halfway to creating the fascist austerity, the of destroying the sovereignty of particularly the European nations, because Germany and Italy are resisting this big time. So, but their intention actually is now to bankrupt the United States because the United States has this huge debt, $4 trillion, which can never be paid. They're simply going to say we can't pay it.
Yeah.
Right? And it's actually what the editor of the Financial Times has come out and said, is that the European debt is unsustainable, it can't be paid, and there's going to have to be a day of reckoning and massive default. And this guy by the name of Wolfgang Manchu has come out and said that he estimates the bad debt on the books of the various bad banks that have been created in Europe, along with the hidden debt on the books of the so-called solvent banks, represents somewhere in the range of 2.5 trillion euros. We estimate it to be a lot more than that. So the entire system is bankrupt, and the intention is to stop the money printing, to let the entire system fail and take the US down with it.
Yes, and if I can refer to Carol Quigley, which I know this is exactly what you're saying, what is transpiring right before our eyes today is this system was to be controlled in a feudalist fashion by the central banks of the world, acting in concert by secret agreements, as this Karen has just pointed out, secret agreements arrived at in frequent meetings and conferences. The apex of this system was the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, a private bank owned and controlled by the world's central banks, which were themselves private corporations. And what you've just said, Craig, is what we are seeing with the measures of austerity in Europe, running up debt in the US. Now, let's fast forward. Where do we fit in? Where does Australia fit into this designed debt collapse system?
Okay, well, come back to February this year, Leon. I wanted to put on the table what Mr. LaRouche again. Mr. LaRouche is 93 years of age.
Yep.
He's had over 50 years of fighting this fascism. He's a well-known physical economist in the US. And what he said on the 15th of February 2000 and 13 this year in an international webcast. Now, this is before Cyprus, right?
Yep.
This is before all of this. He said that the oligarchy, the international financiers, were well aware that their present policy of monetary bailouts called quantitative easing, that's hyperinflationary monetary printing, could not never possibly work. Right. Now, he said what they will do is they will not try and bail out Ben Bernanke in his operation of money printing. They would do something much nastier. They would dump Ben Bernanke, dump the existing financial system itself, ignore the system that they cancelled, and then put up their own monetary system, their own new system. And what happens in a case like this, the amount of debt outstanding on account of this bailout system, a monetary system, a financial easing, a monetary easing, has got to be cancelled. So there will be no such money available. There will be no such reserves. What will happen will be that a new cabal will create a new system of money, which will be much smaller, much more feasibly handled than the present one. What will happen to all people who are excluded from the use of this more limited money, quantity of money, they'll starve to death. Now, the Bank of International Settlements has just come out and said the same thing. This reporter, the Financial Times, Wolfgang Manchu, has come out and said the debt was never going to be paid. So the game is up. Now, what's being forecast is something that we've been mobilising here in Australia in the last 2 weeks intensively, is that by the end of this year, the Bank of International Settlements wants to make a decision on which banks are going to be saved. And these are the globally important globally active, systemically important financial institutions known as G-SIFIs.
Yep.
And they will be saved, yep, basically through the use of what's called bail-in.
And this goes back to our last conversation, the bail-in laws.
That's right. Now, those bail-in laws are where depositors, their deposits are no longer safe, and they're basically, a proportion might be saved, but the balance will be converted into shares to try and prop up the banks. This is the Bank of International Settlements global policy.
Yes.
What happened in Cyprus is the policy for the world.
It's the model. That's the model.
That's the model. And what we found is that the Bank of International Settlements, through its Financial Stability Board, said on the 15th of April that Australia had legislation in train for the bail-in for our country. Now, we have turned this country upside down in the last 2 weeks, campaigning to find that legislation, to warn people about it and let people know that this, in fact, is the model for Australia. What's also pretty astounding is that on the September the 11th, 2011, the former Treasurer, Wayne Swan, came out and bragged about the fact that the financial claims scheme would cover 99% of deposits in Australian banks up to the amount of $250,000. Unfortunately for him, 10 days later, the Financial Stability Board of the Bank of International Settlements came out and said that this financial claim scheme wouldn't work with the four big banks because these four big banks are too big to fail.
So they overruled a sovereign decision.
Well, they're basically saying they're calling the truth of the matter, mm-hmm, to say that this is a complete lie on the basis of Wayne Swan.
Yep.
See, what people aren't told is, firstly, this is not an automatic scheme to save people's deposits. There has to be a decision by the Treasurer to implement the financial claim scheme. Secondly, the financial claim scheme draws on the appropriations from the budget up to $20 billion. Well, just one of those banks alone, the Commonwealth Bank, has over $350 billion in deposits. So when the Financial Stability Board says it's too big to fail, that means that the financial claim scheme can't be applied. But see, the financial claim scheme can only be applied when the banks are literally shut down and broken up and sold off. Now, if you take one of our big banks with, yep, $350 billion in deposits and try and do that, you bring the entire system down.
Yes.
So what you can see here, Leon, is that the only solution is what we've been proposing, what Mr. LaRouche has been proposing internationally, is that we have to do what the financial oligarchy is already saying is going to happen, and we actually have to take control of the financial system, but from the point of view of being a sovereign nation. And we say, all right, we need to have a banking system. We're going to have a banking system that's highly regulated and protected, but it's only going to be a banking system. It's not going to be one of these speculative
derivative banks
like we have today.
Yep.
And we're going to protect that. That's called Glass-Steagall. It was done by Roosevelt in 1933. And all this unpayable speculative debt, all this stuff that's been coming from the $20 trillion of derivatives that are in our banking system here in Australia, that's $20 trillion of national capital value of the derivatives market. Huge liabilities there, and no one knows where these things are because they're off the balance sheet. They're just basically gambling debts to the side. The point is you have to wipe all that out. And yes, I know, as a sovereign nation, we aren't going to have a banking system, a global banking system that dictates our laws and how we function. We're going to have a national banking system, and we're going to determine the way that our country is going to function.
Absolutely.
And this is going to be done under Glass-Steagall. So that's what we've been campaigning for, and we will campaign vigorously for that right up until we get it, because the alternative is a complete collapse of the global financial system as being forecasted, as actually being pushed now, and consequently this will have a devastating effect on the ability of countries to provide for industry, like you see with Cyprus right now. 70% of its economy's collapsed and disappeared because it can't be trade, and that means you're going to end up with population reduction, which is
absolutely
what,
and it's part of the deal. But you know, in closing, Craig, in the last few minutes, the last time we spoke, you spoke about the bail-in laws and what was taking place this week. I mean, today's the last day of sitting in Parliament this session. Has anything happened on that front?
Well, we've put an enormous amount of pressure on the members of Parliament, called up nearly every one of them. We've had a team on the ground in Parliament, and they're running away from it. They don't want to look at this question of, is bail-in proposed for Australia? They're giving us all sorts of insurance. Oh, no, it couldn't possibly be assured. We had the same assurances directly from Joe Hockey's office. I mean, this is a guy. Now, you go back to before the global financial crisis, or the breakout of the global financial crisis, Julia Gillard came out and said no one could foresee the global financial crisis. What rubbish. We've been forecasting this for crisis going back to 2001 and earlier. Yeah. The fact is that you've got a massive speculative debt that's driving the collapse of the banking system. The same with Joe Hockey comes out and says, you know, he has every confidence, and we've got it in writing, every confidence that the powers that be in the financial system will take the necessary steps to stop a global financial crisis. Well, that didn't work, Joe.
Yes.
Right. So here you have the next potential Treasurer of Australia, who is, in fact, an asset of the banking system itself, being put into a position where we could see these bail-in powers ran through very, very quickly, Leon.
And they could happen today, being the last day. But, Craig, look, you make a lot of sense. You're speaking the same language as me, and I appreciate the fact that you have done a lot of work on the understanding the economic issues, and I appreciate your input today. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Leon. It's a big subject, so yeah, we can always explore it more as you have time in your program.
Yeah, we will do that. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
G'day, folks. It's Fair Income Leon here. I'm the host of Fair Income Radio. We are resistance media, of the people, for the people. We document that there is a conspiracy and an agenda to destroy our national identity, our economic independence, the institution of the family, and our independence as a nation. We are at war with forces within government that are intent on destroying our independence and sovereignty, as individuals and as a nation. I appeal to you, my fellow Australians, to stand with me as we broadcast in resistance to this agenda. Please support us by sharing this website with family and friends and subscribing to help us continue to be a credible voice of the people, for the people. Thank you, friends. Stay tuned and maintain resistance.